Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. The weekend is in sight. We can see it just around the corner. Along with Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com, I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And Jim, it's been going on for several days now, but it's been very interesting to both of us, I think, that the mainstream media just seems completely befuddled and somewhat completely obsessed with Sarah Palin as she goes on this quasi-family vacation to various landmarks around the country. It seems like her point is to bring this country back to the founding principles of the country. The mainstream media seems to only care if she's running for president, and so when she keeps telling them she hasn't decided yet, they accuse her of basically manipulating them, which means that they're manipulatable, I guess, to coin a Bushism. And just the fact that they're completely thrown out of sorts about this and just by her in general makes this delicious, even though I think it's pretty clear she's not going to end up running for president.
First of all, I'm not quite so sure about that, Greg. And people who would strongly disagree can send their emails to Greg Corumbus at Radio America. You know, I was one of those folks who looked at this and said, all right, the only time Sarah Palin has ever indicated she might not run in 2012 is when she talks about her family. She indicates that the burden on a candidate's family is great, and she's not sure she wants to put all of them through that. And so I had kind of figured this, you know, when you talk about, oh, the candidate's going on a big nationwide tour, this sounded to me like a dress rehearsal. The idea of, let's try this, let's go through this, and let's see if everybody's okay with it, if her kids can have their needs taken care of. If she feels like she can balance everything in her life she needs balanced, then it's a go. If you see problems on that, then probably a presidential campaign would, you know, see very similar problems. She said now explicitly that's not the reason for this, that her family doesn't need to be prepared, that they already got a taste of this during the 4 months or so that she was involved in the 2008 campaign. So we have a, you know, much discussed potential candidate going around, and she said this is not a campaign tour. And I think after a couple of days of seeing her not give speeches, not really hold rallies, anything resembling the traditional rallies, it very much is not that. My current theory is that perhaps this is all a grand plot by the National Park Service to spotlight some historical sites on the East Coast that have been overlooked. I'm sure this is going to be great news for Mount Vernon and Fort McHenry and all these other stops she's getting around to. It is, however, fascinating to see how quickly and overwhelmingly the media scrutiny focuses on this, even when she's not really doing anything, you know, enormously consequential to a potential 2012 bid. I will note that when you eat pizza in Times Square with Donald Trump, it creates a media vortex that sucks in every reporter in a 30-mile radius. The only way that event could have been bigger the other night is if she had actually decided to have a third person having dinner with her, and that'd be Anthony Weiner. That would have just made it the biggest media event of all time. So what she's doing is anybody's guess. I get the feeling she's laughing every moment at the CNN reporters and everyone else who's complaining, you know, that you're not making this a very easy story for us to cover. I think she doesn't want it to be an easy story for them to cover. The interesting angle is that if you're a Sarah Palin supporter and you, you know, adore her and want to see her run, you don't know when she's coming. You know, there is no schedule. The everything is to be determined. Today she's going to be up in Massachusetts and apparently headed towards New Hampshire. And kind of fascinating to watch the collective heads exploding in the mainstream media as one of their favorite stories is bringing her into everything short of, you know, I think the next level of coverage would be akin to the slow white Bronco of O.J. Simpson back in the mid-90s. So, you know, it's anyone's guess as to what's going on around here. It definitely makes for some fascinating dissection of the mainstream media and their obsessions.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And of course, Democrats, I think, for the most part, think they want her in the race. MSNBC and others have been trying to goad her into it. They've even said nice things about her a couple of times this week in an effort to draw her in so they can try and bludgeon her. But something tells me that she's
except when they accuse her of violating federal law by having a flag on her bus, which apparently that guy, that MSNBC anchor, wants to criminalize the interaction of basically every presidential campaign that's ever, you know, including Obama 2012 for using that. So.
Exactly. Martin Bashir, well done on that front. As far as the Democrats, though, they are trying to spin something fierce when it comes to the debt ceiling. Obviously, the president and his fiscal agenda have been completely defeated over the past few days. Obama's budget unanimously defeated in the Senate, and then the House of Representatives on Tuesday evening overwhelmingly defeating the president's call for what he said was a clean extension of the debt ceiling with no spending restrictions attached. Even the Democrats, as we mentioned yesterday, were kind of split on this. And now the spin job begins. Here's the number two Democrat in the House of Representatives, Steny Hoyer, saying, you can't blame Obama for the debt. This is Bush's fault. And listen to the numbers he tries to whip out here.
It wasn't clean. In fact, what it did was its premise was that we have this debt because of President Obama's policies. That's simply not true. And the world knows it's not true. And the Republicans know it's not true. We went from a $5.6 trillion surplus that George Bush inherited to over $10 trillion, $11-plus trillion debt when George Bush left office.
Jim, it's interesting. We have $14-plus trillion in debts, but George W. Bush racked up $16-plus trillion of debt, according to Steny Hoyer. And when you factor in the trillions Obama's kicked in, that's some fuzzy math, to coin the phrase that Bush once used a few years ago. But that's not all. Here's White House Press Secretary Jay Carney explaining how the president has actually been a strong leader on this issue.
The president has clearly led in this. He established the Fiscal Bowles Commission, the Simpson Bowles Commission, the Fiscal Commission that, because Congress would not, he established. And those recommendations helped guide him as he drew up his proposal that he put forward in his speech at GW.
Okay, that would be a Democratic Congress that did not create the commission, if in fact that was up to Congress to create the commission. And secondly, the president ignored the Simpson Bowles Commission, so I'm still failing to see where this leadership occurred.
Yeah, and looking at Hoyer's numbers there, here's a very simple, basic, easy way to put this into perspective. I got all of these figures from the Department of the Treasury, and they have a website called Debt to the Penny, which is looking at not just the, you know, year-to-year deficit, but the annual debt. Bush, 8 years in office, he started at $5.7 trillion to $10.6 trillion. That's $4.9 trillion over 8 years, which I think every fiscal conservative would say, that's bad. That's
very
about
bad.
$600 billion per year. But Obama's been in office in less than 3 years, and when I wrote these numbers back in about middle of April, the debt had increased from $10.6 trillion to $14.2 trillion, or a $3.6 trillion increase in about 27 months, or you come out to about $1.6 trillion per year. Now, those who are really good at math have already figured out that's about three times as fast as the Bush. So how Obama is trying to fix the Bush debt by increasing it three times as fast, the logic of that escapes me somehow. Maybe Hoyer's got more numbers he can point to or something. But, you know, I think what we're seeing here is that, you know, for years and years, the Democrats got very used to being able to say, oh, we had a surplus when Bush took office, and now we have deficits. And that is technically true, although I think a lot of people would argue that the surplus projections beyond 2000 by the folks like the Congressional Budget Office basically assumed that the dot-com boom in the late 90s would go on forever.
Right.
And I think most economists would say, no, that was never a realistic projection, and tax revenues, at some point the bubble was going to burst and tax revenues would go down with it. Well, now here we are in a different set of circumstances, and then basically they're still running the 2008 rhetoric and the 2008 playbook of blaming Bush. Guys, it's 2011. We're heading into 2012. The stuff isn't going to work anymore. But I guess I really shouldn't be giving them advice like that.
It's the only card they've got. And by the time Election Day rolls around next year, Obama in less than 4 years will probably have passed what President Bush racked up in deficit spending over 8 years. And you're right to point out that there's no point in defending Bush there. That record is horrendous, especially given the 6 years Republicans controlled at least one part of Congress. Although it's worth pointing out the Democrats in 2 years of control during the last 2 years of the Bush administration certainly didn't waste any time cranking up the debt. On to the efforts to defeat President Obama in 2012 now. And Jim, it seemed pretty simple a couple of weeks ago when many prominent people were saying that, you know, I've looked at this and I've just decided not to do it. Donald Trump decided he loved his reality show and making money too much. Mike Huckabee decided he didn't want in. And now apparently both are reconsidering. Trump suggesting even that he might run as an independent, and Huckabee saying he hasn't ruled anything out, although it seemed pretty clear a couple weeks ago on his TV show that he had ruled it out. So, you know, George W. Bush called himself the decider. These guys can't even decide if they want in. Not really sure, even if they did run and win, whether we'd really want them deciding anything of consequence.
Most of what we heard from Huckabee and Trump seemed pretty definitive. What better way to, you know, have people's confidence in your decisions than for have you doubting them several weeks later? My understanding is that one of Huckabee's responses came in response to a question about taking the vice presidential slot. So he may have been hedging his bets a little bit on that one. I wouldn't give him quite as much grief about that. But, you know, hearing Trump say, oh, maybe I'll run again, you know, a couple of days after running, after, you know, meeting with Sarah Palin, you get the feeling that he is now just addicted to the political spotlight as opposed to the celebrity business spotlight that he's enjoyed for much of his career. The idea that this is just going to be part of like a regular weather pattern of, you know, Trump talking up his presidential campaign depresses me greatly, Greg. I thought this was the crazy martini, not these, you know, utterly depressing martini. I'd like to think that after he's definitively said he's not running, that Trump will get less attention. But, you know, in this political environment, who knows? to his credit, Trump did come out and say, of course it's Wiener in the infamous picture. So there's something to be said for a blatant truth teller who just blurts out what everyone's thinking but is afraid to say.
Oh, maybe he can become a pundit. I hear there's some openings coming up on some of these channels as people run and other people just quit. So very interesting, Jim. We'll find out if, in fact, either of them actually do change their minds. I'm sure Trump will consider it all the way up to about October of 2012 when he'll finally decide that he's actually not going to run. So we'll look forward to that, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Looking forward to it, Greg.
Thanks. Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us Friday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.